¡Órale!
¡Sí, señor!
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP podcast. I'm Jorge Georgie Martin, and I'm joined here by my cousins and primos, Ricky Torres and Hector Reyes.
What's up, guys?
How are we doing, boys?
Good, man. Ready to rock.
Gracias, everybody, for joining us. Well, you know, we're all friends now, everybody, right? All our Familia community. It's time we started sharing some more stuff that's personal about each of us.
Yes. You know,
let's talk tacos.
Yeah, let's go.
How do you like them? Pollo asado, carne asada, al pastor, lengua. We all have our favorites.
You guys got to talk about yours because mine are going to be the least Latino type of tacos. As I'm telling you, I love pollo and I love fish tacos, but I love avocado in it. I love my grilled onions, my cilantro, but I don't put salsa on it. And it's just because I never got into the spiciness.
Oh, man. The spice is where it's at. My philosophy is... Your food needs to bite you back. You know, if your food's not biting you back, you know, you're not having a good time. So whether it's, you know, you're having the hot sauce, or you know, you're having some wasabi or some horseradish, food needs to bite back, and especially hot sauce. I mean, you can't go wrong. I mean, if I'm at a taquero, you know, I'm gonna definitely usually get three at a time. You know, that's how you start. You know, you kind of have a game plan when there's a taquero there at the party. You have a game plan. You know, for me, it's like, okay, I'm going to start with three. If I'm still hungry, come back, maybe one or two more. Start with, you know, one of each, usually, if they got that set up. Al pastor, pollo, carne asada. You know, the pollo, you got to have the green sauce. You know, that good tomatillo sauce, got to throw that on there. A little bit of onion. Then with the carne asada, got to have that red sauce.
Definitely. And all that sounds really normal. But, Georgie, you do something that I think it's weird. You put beans on the tortilla first?
Oh my God, yes. Yes, that was the way at my house. My mom would make carnitas and we'd always start it off, put the beans, and it's always frijoles de la olla. There are certain times the refried beans go well, but no, when it comes to like carne asada or carnitas, frijoles de la olla, put them on first. They're kind of like your foundation. In your bed, and then you put the carne on top. You know, when it comes to, and I do this at the taquero too, because they always have the beans on the side, and I always make sure to add them on with everything. But yeah, then put the carne on it, or the chicken, whatever we're having, or the fish, and then you put the salsa on top of it. I love pico de gallo, spicy pico de gallo. Growing up, my mom made an incredible one. She also makes great nopales too. And
yeah, we just had those the other day.
Still every once in a while. So good. And the beans, you know, it's a little extra protein and the fiber keeps you regular.
There you go.
Now, do your kids have that same defect, or are they normal?
Oh, I've raised them right. No, they love their beans. They may be half Irish, but they when it comes to beans, they are Mexican. So,
good for your heart, man. Good for your heart.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. What is it? Beans, the magical fruit.
There you go. Exactly.
But no, I do that. And then sometimes, you know, especially when it's taquero, if they've got a guacamole salsa, I'll add that to it. And it's just, I don't know. To me, you know, the beans are just that perfect little complement to it.
Yeah, for me, it's the red sauce. You know, if you've ever been to King Taco, their red sauce, and I'm 46 years old. I've had a lot of red sauces in my day. Like I said, I go for the heat whenever I can get it. But the King Taco red sauce is by far the best red sauce that I've ever had. As far as this, it's just perfect. It's like a chipotle. I don't know what they do, but this stuff is like magic. So their red sauce, I put that on everything. Whatever I buy there at King Taco, or you know, whenever I can get a good red sauce from a taquero or wherever, it's fantastic. So I highly recommended that King Taco red sauce. You gotta go get it.
there, There's only one problem with the great spicy red sauces.
And
they make
that?
My head. They make my head sweat. My bald head. My girls know. Everybody who's eating with me, they know how much I like it because of how much I'm sweating on the top of my head, and
there
they can
go.
See it. So
probably sweating on the toilet 2 an hour later,
or the morning after.
There you go. Yeah,
the morning after is a good one.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, that's pulling, actually for me, as much as I love the taquero, there's something about pulling the carne asada right off the grill and grabbing a piece and just starting to dress and making myself. Oh, that's just,
yeah. And if it's been marinated in beer, even better, because that's like the OG. Like we've all had a deal that you know, had a carne asada marinade that included beer. And, you know, we all grew up with that faint smell of like that beer smell, that you know that the meat's been marinated in beer. It just has that kind of that awesome smell. And you're a kid, you know, you're like 10 growing up, but you know that smell of beer and the meat. And I don't know, whatever it was, it worked, man. Being a kid growing up on beer asada was fantastic.
That was just, sometimes
that's
I'd see my
we
mom
have
just
such a great taste for beer.
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah, exactly. The foundation was set then.
There you go. That's it. That's where it all started.
That and I also remember carnitas was always, I always knew carnitas were going to be made at Abuelito and Abuelita's house when Abuelito dug a hole to make a carnitas pit and wow. To make to cook them up in that big special pot. Oh, geez.
Big cazuela.
Yep, the big cazuela. So...
I don't even remember that. That's super chunty. I love it.
It's so back in the day. That was Pacoima Familia.
You guys need to find a picture of that.
It's way back. Yeah, we're going way back.
Yeah, you got it's the Pacoima generation. You got to ask your dad about it, Rick. It's so that era.
Legit.
I'm gonna ask him to find out why he's not putting no grill in the ground and making his.
There you go.
It's the way to keep the oil from splashing all over the place. If it splashes on the dirt, it's no big deal.
There you go.
Awesome. Well, you know, that's enough sharing about the day. Let's get into some chisme.
Let's go.
Chisme.
So we had a dream, guys. 4th and 15 was going to pass. It didn't.
Incomplete. It fell incomplete.
Exactly. Incomplete pass. They didn't kill it.
Was it a turnover though, right?
Yeah, they didn't kill it. Yeah, so you know they kicked the can out for another day. I guess it was too much to expect that they were going to bring in some fun into the league without really really going into the thought process.
Right. Yeah, there probably hasn't been enough.
I think if they would have maybe opened it more and let the players give their input, they could have. Definitely thought of something cool, but I'm just happy that they're thinking of it. They're finally putting the players' health into play, and also they want to make the game more exciting for the fans. I'm sure the fantasy impact would have been even better, but I don't know. I just feel like I heard about this for a week, so I don't know if they came up with it too fast, because I feel like they can think of so many more ideas than this. This is just going to let the Chiefs run all over a team, basically, in my eyes.
Right. It's kind of like what the Masters did after Tiger Woods won by, I think, what was it, 15 strokes or 17 strokes, whatever it was that he won his first title. They Tiger-proofed all the golf courses, you know. And so now it's like the NFL is trying to Chief-proof, you know, the league. And, you know, I mean, you know, yeah, same thing, you know, same difference. I think, you know, the NFL, this, you know, if the Chiefs weren't running around everybody or running all over everyone, you know, this may have had some more legs. But I think, like you said, to your point, a rule like this may allow the Chiefs to be even more dominant. So I think they're that's probably the argument that everybody came up with, except the Chiefs for not voting on this just yet, or for not implementing this just yet.
Yeah, and I heard Andy Reid get interviewed today, and he talked about the fact that it was a good idea. And then I think it was Rich Eisen who was interviewing him. He goes, well, you got Patrick Mahomes.
Exactly.
It's definitely a good idea if you got that guy back there. So,
oh yeah, that's wonderful for the now, Chiefs.
I feel like they need to fix overtime before they fix kickoffs. That's what the public really wants. That's what the players really want. They already know what we should do, NCAA rules.
Right.
And it's like, I feel like every year it's the same. You see overtime happen and they don't change the rules. So you see one play or one series and the game's over. So I think I love that they did this, but I don't know, fix something else.
Exactly.
Can you imagine what if the NFL adopted the NCAA overtime rule, what that would do to fantasy? Would that just be fantastic?
Yes. Fantastic.
Every 2-3 minutes, you know, touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. It'd be awesome.
Yeah. And imagine all the bad beats. Imagine the bad beats, man. You're up by 6 points or whatever, and it's like Monday Night Football. It's the last game, and then like on a weird play, fumble, TD, whatever, pick six, it goes into overtime. And next thing you know, like you just get blown out because your opponent just puts up like 20 more points. Like, oh man, it'd be fantastic.
Yeah, the quarterback throws like 3 more touchdowns.
Yeah, that'd be so good. So good for fantasy. I would love that. Let's go.
I never want my opponent to go into overtime.
Exactly. I mean, we never do anyway. You never want your opponent to go in anyway because you know, you want your opponent's game to be over as soon as possible. So, yeah, this would just make it even that much more interesting.
No, hopefully they do something. Hopefully they do something at some point to make overtime better.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of trying to make things better, there was a minority hiring proposal that was brought up to the league recently. And one of the things that they were doing was to include a draft pick upgrade. And well, guys, you know, we're Latinos, we're minorities here. We're speaking from the side that's supposedly getting the help. But I don't know if any of us want to get help that way. I don't know if any of us want to have that stigma of something hanging over our heads that way. Exactly. A lot of people have come out against it. Yeah.
You put it perfect because it's something that is going to hang over our heads. Imagine you're the coach that gets it and your team gets a higher draft pick. Ooh, yeah, all eyes were going to be on you regardless, but now you're going to get haters watching you, wanting you to fail so they can prove that this whole proposal was dumb from the beginning. I just think it's great that they're thinking about it because we definitely need to see more minorities up there. I mean, over 50% of the league are minorities, but less than 50% of the coaching staff is. So it's great that they're thinking of it, but, I mean, unlike the other rules they're trying to change, this one they need to get right the first time.
Agreed. Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm happy that the NFL is definitely looking at this. I would love to see a lot more minority coaches, head coaches in the league. I'm looking at Eric Bieniemy, you know, the offensive coordinator for the Chiefs. The guy just won a championship ring. He's been coaching in the NFL, you know, going back to 2006. He was a running backs coach for the Vikings. So, I mean, he's a prime candidate. You know, he's been running one of the most potent offenses the NFL has ever seen for the last 3 years. So, you know, my hope is that he can get a job, you know, one of these days soon, you know, on merit for sure. But yeah, again, kudos to the NFL for at least looking into this and trying to come up with some way to boost up the minority head coaches in the league.
Yeah, and Hector, you mentioned merit, and that's the important part, is, you know, getting in the room and winning the job on your own, not because of the color of your skin or anything. What the NFL did do is that they're mandating that not only should minorities get interviews for the head coaching positions and the GM positions, but also the coordinator positions. So it's actually encouraging these coaches to do more, these organizations to hire more minority coaches, these people who actually mirror the players who are being coached. So that's the important part. Get more people in the room who are different, who are diverse, getting more people in front office positions, senior level front office positions. I was a senior level person at the Dodgers. You know, it was great to see other minority faces there. I'd like to think that I encouraged other people to also follow in my footsteps at some point and follow their dreams. So that's the important part, is to see these people in, you know, taking advantage of these opportunities, but not just to get the job, but just to excel in the job, because when you excel in the job, you do well. I go back to, you know, I did a lot of articles and interviews about Jackie Robinson when I was at the Dodgers. And so many people said that Jackie, when he got that opportunity, he knew the weight that he was carrying, and he knew that if he messed it up, he might set everything back 20 years.
Yeah.
So that's the important part of when, you know, we're not carrying that kind of a mantle, but every time one of us Latinos gets into a position into a high profile position like that, it's important to excel. And it's important to be an example for those coming behind us, because sure, we want to make sure to have these opportunities, you know, just like us. We want our kids to do better than us. So we don't want to be the last one. We don't want to close the spigot behind. We don't want to close the door behind us.
Right.
It's
right.
Very beautiful, Georgie.
No, thank you. Well, speaking of beautiful, Le'Veon Bell thinks that his offensive line got a lot more pretty this year.
Hey,
you know, they definitely spent some draft capital on him. They definitely spent some free agent dollars. Is that going to be enough for him?
Nope.
I second that. Yeah.
I mean, come on. He still has to deal with, I mean, I don't care for Darnold. I don't know if you guys think the dude's anything. He wasn't even in our top 20, but I mean, I don't like the wide receivers there. They got rid of their best one in Robbie Anderson.
Exactly.
And, I mean, yeah, they got new line, but, I mean, that line doesn't really know each other that well yet. I would love it if they could surprise me and Le'Veon Bell all of a sudden does what he's supposed to be doing. But, dude, the past 3 years has been the worst running back you want to own. So I'm not gonna basically bump up the Le'Veon Bell stock just because he likes his line.
Right, agreed.
I like a lot of things too, but I know that they're crap. So
I mean, Le'Veon Bell is a. I mean, I think we remember how awesome he was at the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we just want him to be that good again. And
yeah,
until I see that, you know, I'm not gonna put any stock into Le'Veon Bell. Like you said, he burned so many people. Was it not? You know, that this past year, the year before, when he held out for a year, everybody he was. I mean, he was projected top three, top four, running back. You know, some people picked him two overall. I mean, it was a disaster. So Le'Veon Bell has burned a lot of people. I luckily it wasn't me that picked him that year when he didn't play at all. But you know, I'm not gonna waste any time on Le'Veon Bell until I can see
yourself.
Yeah, until I see him do something, then I'll maybe focus later on. But for now, I'm staying away.
I don't think you're going to see any of him during preseason games. That's the thing. I think he's going to sit out like most of the top tier running backs, and we're going to know week one if that offensive line is going to make a difference for him. So at that point, it's going to be too late. So
right.
Someone either is going to have a fine, or they're going to be like, they're going to be banging their head yelling, "Ay, mijo, why did I do that? Ay, mijo, why did I do that? Yeah, why did someone, I? ¿Por qué?
It's something to worry about even more is he's got the goal line goblin and Frank Gore right behind him. So yeah. I know, like, yeah. Bell, you want on the goal line, but it's like they got Frank Gore, and that guy's done nothing but ruin other running back stock. So
correct. Yes, and yeah, he's. I think I said it before here. He's, he's about to collect Social Security. It seems like, I don't know how old he is. He's almost like 50 or 60. I don't know how old Frank Gore is, but Jesus, the guy just keeps on going. And yeah, I don't doubt that he's gonna vulture a couple of TDs from Mr. Bell there. So yeah, even more of a reason to stay away from Le'Veon this year.
Oh. Well, I think that's it for our Chisme segment. Let's get into the meat, the carne for this.
Meat, yes.
Go al pastor.
So, you know, I think we were all pretty consistent on guys we had in our top 10. I think for the most part, guys that were in there. I mean, a few people had guys rated outside. This 11 to 20, we were all over the place. And that's where there's going to be some great debate. And the interesting part is at number 20, we actually got a tie. So we're going to 11 today. Those Spinal Tap fans, folks back in the 80s, you guys know what it means to go to 11. But let's start with the guy at number 11, Adam Thielen. With Stefon Diggs going away, is he actually going to be better, more of a factor?
If he's healthy.
Right.
I mean, I think that's the biggest thing. You're right about, you know, our you know, the next 10 wide receivers we picked are very inconsistent as far as how we picked them, but their play the whole season was. And Adam Thielen's the perfect person to put out there because he was inconsistent, but only because of his injuries. And I think now that Diggs is gone, I loved Adam Thielen. Whoever got him, he just always scored when he played. You're always worried about him. But when he hurt it, I believe it was his hamstring, right? It's just you can't be quick and come back from that right away. Then he got re-injured. It's like, all right. So last year was just a fluke. I know he's turning 30 in August, but, I mean, the dude's already a miracle. Like, no one would have thought he was going to be as good as he was 2 years ago. Right. And even last year he was good. So the dude just gets over 100 yards easily. He makes it look so easy.
That's like, the good thing. Definitely.
I don't see those highlight videos of him like catching it with his fingers like Diggs or Odell, but this dude's turning it in a lot more than them.
No, and that's the great thing about Adam Thielen is you know, the fact that Kirk Cousins throws an accurate ball, you're not going to really see a lot of, you know, acrobatics from Adam Thielen, but the guy can just flat out catch. I mean, this guy, he just, I mean, if the ball's anywhere near him, he's going to reel it in. And he's just a super talent. He can catch pretty much anything. And, you know, Stefon Diggs was already a stud, you know, as the number one guy in Minnesota. And now that Adam Thielen's that number one guy, you know, like you said, Rick, as long as this guy can stay healthy and he's going to get, you know, all those balls coming at him this year, he's going to make a ton of catches for a ton of yards. And I see a ton of scores as well. So I'm big on Adam Thielen this year.
Yeah, I think with Diggs gone, even though they did get Justin Jefferson, I don't think they're going to throw to Justin Jefferson as many times as they threw to Diggs. And I think a healthy number of those balls are going to go to Thielen. And I could see him getting 120, 130 targets very easily in this. Yep. And even in this a little bit more conservative offense. But I had him 2 years ago when he had his monster year, and he was so fun to own. Fun to have. Oh, yeah. So he's going to be fun. I think he's definitely like a third round pick who's going to pay big dividends and maybe outperform his draft spot. You know, another guy who number 12, Cooper Kupp, he definitely outperformed what so many people expected. So many, you know, there were people who didn't think he was going to be back in time to start the season. And not only did he start the season, he played all 16 games. What are we thinking on him?
I'll talk about him, Cooper Kupp, only because I had Jared Goff last year and I was able to pay very close attention to the Rams offense last year. I got burned so bad by Jared Goff. I am tempering my expectations and my enthusiasm for Cooper Kupp only because, and we talked about it earlier, guys, Todd Gurley's gone. And for me, you know, if Jared Goff doesn't have that security blanket, I see Gurley as being Goff's security blanket the last couple of years. And without a strong or really good running game, I see, you know, Jared Goff regressing and not having as solid a year as he's had in the past. And obviously, with that happening, I see that affecting Cooper Kupp as well. So I'm tempering my enthusiasm a little bit on Kupp. I had him ranked lower. I think I had him at 14. Overall in my rankings, but can he be dangerous? Absolutely. But I'm just going to, you know, if I can get him later as a value pick, I'll keep my eyes open, but I doubt he'll last that long. So those are my thoughts on Cooper Kupp.
I think this is how you play with Cooper Kupp. If you're in PPR, you want to get him as soon as you can, because he's a target machine. He gets receptions. But if you're in a standard league, dude can get 10 targets in a game, but only catch 3 of them for like 30 yards. That's what he did against the Ravens. So I think if you see him go low and you're in a PPR league, snap him up, because he's going to get mad points just by receptions. But standard, I wouldn't get him. I would get him like way low. I'd want him to be my third. If you get him as your second, you're lucky. But look, they lost Gurley. They lost Brandon Cooks. So who else are the defenses going to be focusing on? They're not going to focus on Goff anymore. I don't know. I think Woods isn't going to get better coverage than Kupp.
Agreed.
Put everything on Kupp.
You're exactly right.
So yeah, I just don't think they took away all the weapons, and I don't think Kupp is a dominant player. He's a great player that can sneak around, but he's not going to jump over people and be that dominant guy who's going to knock people down. So it's definitely a downgrade for him being the only big play guy.
Right.
Well, he's definitely a volume guy. So he was also one of only three guys to score 10 touchdowns last year, 10 or more touchdowns in the NFL. As Goff goes, if Goff takes a step forward, which I'd like to think that he does, when you hear that they're talking about their offensive line is going to be improved. So if he has more time, I think Kupp's going to have an even better year. It's the second full year coming off that ACL surgery. I'm a fan of his. I love the way he's kind of overachieved already in his career. So I think he's
expectations.
He really had no expectations. He had no expectations. He's not a physically imposing guy like a DK Metcalf or something like that. He's kind of like, and he's got that.
It's like a Thielen.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. He's got that heart. He's sneaky for sure. He knows how to get open. He's got good hands. So yeah, he's going to definitely get those balls if Goff can get him there.
Yeah, he's got a good complement in Robert Woods, who's very much a similar type of player who didn't get the top 20, but he very well could have. Kupp is definitely a guy who I think some people were kind of knocking him down. He had a little slump at the in the middle of the season, but then at the end of the season, he scored. I think he scored a touchdown in each of the last five games. Yeah. So he finished strong, and that to me is a good sign coming off of that ACL surgery. So
that third quarter killed me, man, last season because I had him on my teams. And right before playoffs start, he just throws all those dud numbers. But you're right. He blew it up at the end. And when I see that, that kind of gets me excited because that's what got me to pick Derrick Henry last year. So I don't know. Maybe Cooper Kupp's going to be sneaky.
Well, one guy who's not going to sneak is at number 13, and he also wears number 13, is Odell Beckham actually lurking back there and potentially be a guy who's going to explode in the right way?
I don't see it. I'm all over social media, and you know, there's all kinds of, you know, experts that are putting out on their pages how much they're high on Baker Mayfield and the Browns offense this year. And I'm that guy, like that troll that jumps in there and is like, nope, just playing devil's advocate, you know, just, you know, to get the conversation going. I'm not anywhere. I don't want to be anywhere near the Browns offense. You know,
yeah.
Maybe Nick Chubb, possibly, you know, if he goes late, but if that's not going to really happen. I'm not a fan of the Browns offense at all. Baker Mayfield, nope. Odell, nope. Jarvis Landry, nope. Like I said, possibly Nick Chubb, maybe, possibly. But yeah, the players don't complement each other. I think there's too many divas.
Yeah.
With the Browns, Baker Mayfield, I think he wants to be an actor. I think he wants to, he wants to be like The Rock, you know, and, you know, make his own tequila and, you know, make TV commercials for car insurance companies. I think that's what Baker Mayfield actually wants to do with his life. I really don't think he wants to be quarterback. The guy looks, we've talked about it before. He looks scared back there. He hears footsteps. He leaves the pocket way too early. I've seen it time and time again. And I hear the announcer saying it every time. Oh, man, Baker really, you know, the color commentator, whoever it is, you know, a Troy Aikman or whoever, man, there was nobody around him. You know, he really could have stayed in that pocket maybe a 2 or 3 seconds more, but he didn't. And he left and he ran scared and then he threw the ball out of bounds. You know, so I coaching change, I don't see that doing anything. I think Baker Mayfield is just, I think I read someone, I can't remember who wrote an article that Baker Mayfield is just at the end of the day, he's a nice backup quarterback. So that could be Baker Mayfield, you know, at the end of the day. So I'm staying away from OBJ and everybody else in the Browns offense.
And you're right, because OBJ has the rock factor. He's only good when he gets thrown the rock a lot of times because the defense has tried too hard and they screw it up. At Cleveland, there's just way too many weapons. He got only nine targets more than the year before the Giants, and he played four games less.
Wow.
So you're talking about 25% of his season gone, but he still gained the same amount of passes thrown to him. He caught more with the Giants in 2018. He had 20 yards more in 2018. So the guy's consistent. He gets 14 yards a reception pretty much his whole career. He's been averaging that. But Baker's just not throwing the ball enough to him. And it's like you said, Heck, there's too many divas. Too many people are going to be like, hey, you just threw to Odell Beckham for the third time.
What about me?
Here now. Yeah, exactly. Right, exactly. Yeah. And we all know Landry's got a big mouth too. So it's just, I don't know. I think it's just too many Chiefs not in love Indians. And therefore, I would love to be the guy who misses on these players. I don't have to be right on them. Like, I just don't have to have them on my team.
Right.
I'm just glad that we're finally putting Beckham not on, not in the first round. Pedestal. Yeah, we're not putting him up there in that first round, conversation or early second round, just based on name recognition, on that catch his rookie year or the year he had in 2016. So because, based on his potential, he had, I like the fact that he played the full season. I'm concerned about him coming off of that sports hernia surgery, because to me that's a significant surgery.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we've got him in the teens, because we could be wrong and Baker Mayfield could be an all-pro quarterback and do great.
Of course, but we could be wrong. Absolutely. All these great, these projections. That's what makes him great, because no one's right all the time. We're all making our projections, and some of us are going to be a lot wrong. So we'll have to wait and see how it all turns out.
But it's did Mayfield take a permanent step backward, or is he going to take a step forward and realize that the reason why Peyton Manning made all those commercials is because Peyton Manning was an all-pro quarterback?
Yeah.
So if he wants to make more commercials,
he needs to play first.
Yeah, he needs to play, not just play, but he needs to play great. So yeah. OBJ, when he's healthy and he's rolling, he's one of the funnest players to watch.
He's a stud. Absolutely. He's a stud. But like Rick said, there's too many weapons. There's too many targets, too many mouths to feed over there in Cleveland. And I don't see him being happy. And if it happens that during at some point in the season that he's not getting his targets, he's going to throw a tantrum. And things are just going to go sideways from there. So I'm staying away.
It's just too much of a timeshare over there. Because then you think about Kareem Hunt having to share with Chubb. It's just like, the ball has way too many places to go.
Yep.
I don't want 25% of a team's offense. I want half of, 50% of it. With a DeAndre Hopkins, Michael Thomas. This guy's, he's barely going to get the ball thrown to him. Just. Don't, guys. Let some other idiot in the league pick him up and say, I can't believe you guys let him go in the third.
we'll see if one of us ends up taking him. I think it gives nine other people in La Familia League to actually call us on it.
Let's do it.
We will have all the replays of our show, so we'll have to play a recap a version at the end of the season and see how this all went.
And I'm surprised we have him where he is, because the guy who's next on our list, even though he hasn't had he's had a great career, but I think this guy's going to blow up this year. Personally, Stephon Diggs, guys, he's the best wide receiver in the AFC East, better than Devontae Parker, better than N'Keal Harry, better than Breshad Perriman. And he's got the best quarterback in his conference with Josh Allen. So I think we need to be ready to watch Stephon Diggs actually blow up this year and be consistent every week.
I don't disagree. I'm a huge fan of Josh Allen. After watching him play last year, if you paid attention to those Bills games, as he went into the playoffs, the guy's got ice in his veins. Josh Allen has ice in his veins. I am convinced, and the guy's just a badass. And now with Stephon Diggs jumping on board and doing what Stephon Diggs does. I see a lot of great things happening over there at the Bills offense. I'm a huge fan. I like Devin Singletary coming out of the backfield to open things up for that offense. So, yeah, Stephon Diggs, I agree, Rick. I think he's going to have a phenomenal year.
And he's the clear number one at that team. You know, with Minnesota, it was him or Thielen, and obviously they started to run the ball a lot more last year. You know, Josh Allen throws the long ball, and that's something that Stephon Diggs really excels at. A lot of people have been kind of, you know, poo-pooing, talking about the receivers changing teams and everything like that. I'm not as worried about this one. I'm just not as worried about Stephon Diggs. I think he's going to take a big step forward. I think he's going to naturally place into the top of that receiving core and, you know, catch close to 100 balls. And I mean, he had such a weird year though. I mean, you know, he caught 30, you know, compared to in 2018, he caught 39 fewer balls, but somehow he had 109 more yards. So, I mean, that's a lot of a big decrease in the balls. So I think we could see a really good year coming out of this guy. And with him, Josh Allen could take another step forward.
Right. And then the Vikings ran a more conservative offense too, right? Doesn't Zimmer run kind of a more like a game management kind of approach with Kirk Cousins? I think we're going to see a lot more fireworks coming out of the Bills offense this year. So, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that. So we'll see how it goes. But I definitely like Diggs for sure.
Well, Ricky, we know you've got a lot of nice things to say about number 15, Keenan Allen.
I love the guy. I used to not like him. I didn't want to pick him up on my team because I didn't want him to suck because he was on my fantasy team, because I'm obviously a Charger fan. But he was always injury prone.
Yes.
But I'm happy that finally the last three seasons he's playing the whole year, and it shows because the dude catches balls, he gets receptions, he gets TDs. The only problem last year was that Rivers wasn't 100% because the line wasn't 100, and now they got Tyrod Taylor, maybe even Justin Herbert. So it's just inconsistency, and I think with someone who's been his whole career with one quarterback, it's not going to be the easiest thing to go to a Justin Herbert or Tyrod Taylor, especially Tyrod Taylor, because these guys don't throw as goofy as Phillip Rivers does. Phillip Rivers is super accurate, but you guys all know the motion he makes when he throws the ball. Yeah. Even the way he runs, just awkward. But he got the job done. And I think he's going to have to deal with less accuracy this year than he's used to. But if the quarterback play can be 90% of what Phillip Rivers is, Keenan Allen's going to be top 10 for sure. I think the only reason he's down to 15 for us is because he doesn't have a quarterback, and I don't think he's going to get traded this season. I think he's going to be hopefully healthy all 16 games. So really, he's risky. I can see why he's where he is, but if you can hit it and he can catch some balls, he's going to be a top 10.
Yeah, no, I love me some Keenan Allen. You know, and, you know, even he's got Mike Williams there over there in San Diego, here in the L.A. Chargers. Sorry. I know, right? It's so hard to make that change.
Hector owns a dollar into the jar.
Las Vegas Raiders.
I know. He's L.A. Chargers. But, yeah, Keenan Allen, I've been a fan of Keenan Allen for the longest time. And if he's, I've had him on my team a couple times. The guy scores in bunches. If I've been playing against him, he usually is the reason that I lost that week, because he's consistent. Like you said, Rick, the guy's consistent. He catches the ball. He scores a lot of points. He gets his TDs. So, but yeah, with Tyrod back there, Justin Herbert, that's the reason why we have him ranked so low. But again, yeah, like you said, if we can get some good play out of the QBs this year and he can stay healthy, play all 16 games, he'll have a solid year. But yeah, I don't have a problem with where we have him ranked at number 15, but I think he'll have a solid year.
Keenan Allen is just kind of like one of those steady guys, and I think the fact that Tyrod Taylor was there last year with the Chargers, I think that'll help him kind of develop an early rapport with Keenan Allen and with Mike Williams. So, you know, and also Tyrod Taylor has the reputation of being an accurate quarterback, so maybe he's not going to be the big flashy guy. And I think that the Chargers almost would if he does well, that means the team is doing well. So that means Herbert can learn on the sideline. So and Allen does everything. You know, yep. He catches the short ball, he catches the long ball. There's just everything to like about him. The DBs in their division are not particularly good. The Raiders, the Broncos had good DBs, but they lost Chris Harris to the Chargers, and the Chiefs also do not have particularly good DBs. They have Tyrann Mathieu, but he's a safety. So that's what's going to there's going to be some open spots for Keenan Allen. And I think that's going to show. You just look at him. He's almost a lock to get 100 catches and 11 to 1200 yards and 6 to 10 touchdowns. So a lot to like, and he could be a bargain.
What do we see about, as far as Tyrod Taylor? Because he's kind of a big question mark. I mean, I don't even remember the last time Tyrod Taylor played an entire season. I mean, when do we remember the last time he did? Because I don't seem to remember that. But how is he? I mean, how good
he's
is he
fine,
really?
Heck. He's good. No, I'm just, I don't think we've. Yeah, it's been a while. When was the last team he was on the Bills, right?
Yeah.
And even then, I don't think he finished out the year.
I'm just wondering what kind of an impact that, you know, overall, let's say Tyrod Taylor plays the entire season. How good can he really be? I mean, is it just that, you know, kind of like a Teddy Bridgewater, he really hasn't had an opportunity to really come out and flex and really show us what he can do? I mean, if he steals that job or keeps that job as a starter over here in with the Chargers, can he really be a guy that shines and maybe pushes Keenan Allen to the top 10?
Well, I was looking at his numbers. His top yards passing in a season is 3,035 when he was with Buffalo in 2015. So very pedestrian.
Been a while,
But then again, bad quarterbacks can still have productive wide receivers. And true. I think one of the best examples is going to be the next guy on our list, Allen Robinson. And I know a lot of people love to dump on him, but the dude had the third most targets in the entire league last year.
That's correct.
And I know targets, a lot of people don't look at targets, but that means the quarterback's thinking about him. And I know Trubisky sucks. I don't know what's going to happen this year. But if he does 1% better, maybe Allen Robinson can actually – I mean, he had 1,100 yards last year. Allen Robinson was actually pretty good, and I don't think he got a lot of credit for it. He was only too shy from being 100 receptions. But, I mean, I don't know, guys. Do you like him? Because I feel like not enough people are singing this guy's praise. But he had huge games last season. He had his duds too, but he had a lot of huge ones. And I think he should definitely be on people's radars – as a player who's going to beat their average draft position. And basically, if you pick him, he's going to be a WR1 maybe.
Completely agree. I remember, you know, if you've been playing fantasy for any number of years, you'll remember that Allen Robinson a couple of years back with the Jaguars, he was, you know, first round, you know, he's going, you know, in the top 12, top 10 as one of your top receivers. The guy was just a monster. Target hog even back then with the Jacksonville Jaguars. So, and then he blew out his knee or an ankle or something, ACL, right? He was out for like a year. Yeah, and then everybody kind of forgot about Allen Robinson. But then, like you said, Rick, he came back last year completely under the radar. Nobody was thinking about him coming off that torn ACL. And he ended up with 154 targets, you know, for the year and almost 100 reception. So yeah, Allen Robinson, I was a huge fan of Allen Robinson back in the Jaguars, you know, when he was catching all kinds of balls and scoring all kinds of points. So I completely agree with you. I have my eye on Allen Robinson this year. Like you said, even with Trubisky, you know, or maybe even Foles or whoever throwing him the ball, I think I see big things coming from Mr. Robinson's neighborhood. I think we used to call it that back in the day, right? Didn't we used to say that, you know, a couple of years back?
Yeah, that whole Eddie Murphy's to get from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. We got him ranked 16, which probably puts him with a third round ranking to get 1,100 yards and 7 touchdowns. I'd sign up for that right now. And in PPR, 98 receptions. So, you know, I think he's going to – I'd like to think he's going to get better quarterback play. Either Trubisky gets a fire lit up, and he's better, or Nick Foles comes in and he's an upgrade over Trubisky.
It's a win-win for him.
Right.
So I like him as a player. I think he's going to sneak up on people, and I think Ricky, you said it perfectly. People are not expecting much out of him because they're not expecting a lot out of Trubisky. So this is going to be a good situation for him. So I think there's plenty. He's healthy, finished the season strong. So no reason to think that he's not going to do much better just as well as he did last year. Number 17.
I was gonna say real quick before we get to 17, just now because all of us are basically saying that Allen Robinson is like a super duper sneaky pick. I'm trying to figure out between the three of us who's gonna pick him up. So I guess we're gonna have to wait and see.
It's all gonna matter, like if Stephon Diggs or Keenan Allen are still there. Right. I wouldn't pass on those guys to get Robinson. I'd pass on Odell Beckham. That's my little thingy. Know. But I mean. I think it's just going to be one of those, whoever he falls to perfectly.
Right.
So, I'm going to be looking at you guys.
it's going to be draft spot, but it's going to be a good one. But I think another guy who actually may zoom past him on draft boards because he was such a hot commodity there at the end of the season, especially I remember picking him up in not our league, but a different league, just as he got hot at the end of the season. He was fantastic. AJ Brown, a great rookie sensation, one of the handful of guys who really came out of nowhere to start doing well. What a find. Ricky, you had him. Where did you have him? We all had him like 17 or 18.
Yeah, I picked him up last year. I'm that guy that grabbed
because
him.
Because I dropped him.
Is that what happened?
But the guy just wasn't consistent enough for me. Yeah, he'd have a blow up game here, but then his other game would suck. And Tannehill's awesome, but Tannehill also throws like dinky passes. He's a game manager, and I don't know. I'd pass on Brown only because I don't like seeing a 5-point game here, then a 21-point game next week, followed by 2 8-point weeks. It's like, I get it. He blows up because he catches those 80-yard touchdowns every now and then, but I got to see more receptions from the guy. I don't know. I wouldn't be excited to have him on my team. I wouldn't brag about it, but I know he's only 22. He's still growing, so I don't know. I don't trust Tannehill. I know Tannehill, everyone wants to talk greatly about that guy, but I think that was a little bit of a fluke. So I don't know. Tell me why you guys think Brown's actually going to do good.
I don't think he's a fluke. I picked him up at the end of the season last year, and the guy just did crazy things. I mean, 52 receptions, and he had 9 TDs, over 1,000 yards. I'm a fan, so if I can find him, as a good value pick, sure, I'll definitely scoop him up again. Tannehill, I don't know. Something happened. I think something happened last season at the end where he just kind of flipped the switch or shifted it into another gear because he and AJ Brown just kind of clicked and that offense just blew up, and with Derrick Henry coming out of the backfield, everything just kind of seemed to just click all of a sudden, and these guys just went bananas. So yeah, I'm definitely a fan of AJ Brown. I'm going to be definitely looking at him to pick up in a couple of my teams this year.
Yeah, I love the fact that he averaged over 20 yards catch. He had the fewest for of the 1,000 yards receivers. He had the fewest number of catches of 52. So he made the most out of his plays. He's a big play guy. I think a full season of Tannehill is going to be good. The thing that I like about him is he's built like a running back, 6'1", 226, and they actually used him a lot on jet sweeps. Week 16, he was not having a big game because who was the team? Oh yeah, he was going against New Orleans, so he was matched up with their great DB, I think Lattimore, but then all of a sudden they gave him a jet sweep, 49 yards, took it to the house. And salvaged a lot of people who started him on championship week. So there's that threat coming out of the backfield. And I think he's going to be a guy that he's going to be the number one receiver from day one this season. And I I think he's a prime candidate to jump up. I think there's a few guys, again, second year bump. So we'll be getting into that.
Think it's as for sure on AJ Brown as I think it is on our next guy, Courtland Sutton. Now, Courtland Sutton, I think he's primed up way better than AJ Brown. I think he's got a quarterback who's also primed up to have a good second season. Tannehill's out of gas. Dude's old. But I think Sutton, if you can get him on your team, dude's going to be sneaky because Emmanuel Sanders is gone. So it's just like, all right, Sutton, show us what you got. There's been all this talk about you, all this talk about Drew Lock. Let's see what this team can actually do. And they're going to be super conditioned because they're practicing in Mile High Stadium. So I don't want to see Sutton do well because I don't like the Broncos. But I think Sutton's actually someone that could easily be a commodity you want because he's the number one receiver. There's no one challenging him. It's just, it's win-win.
Right. And I think it's finally time. I think John Elway, it's about time that he finally sees, you know, his offense blow up, you know, outside of the Peyton Manning years. The guy has just been just drenched in horrible luck and horrible offenses over the last couple of years. So I think this year it's finally going to work out for him. Like you said, I think I like Drew Lock, you know, over the QB over there at Denver. I think he's going to have a good second year. I think he's going to put up some good numbers. And Courtland Sutton, yeah, the guy's a beast. So I see some good things coming out of him this year. And I think finally Elway gets his offense that he's been wanting to have for all these years. And Courtland Sutton, I think, is going to be a great pick. I'm going to definitely be looking for him this year.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are expecting that guys like Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler are going to take balls away from him. No, Sutton's the guy, and he's definitely going to be right there. You know, 1,100 yards last year. I could see him going past that this year. Full season of Drew Lock, as long as they go play well together. He did. You know, people have made a big deal out of the fact that. You know, after the first week that Drew Lock started in week 12, that Sutton's numbers were not the greatest. So there's some question about their connection, Lock and Sutton. So I think that's something to keep an eye on. But, you know, I don't think Sutton's taking a step backward. He's going into his third year. I think we're looking at a guy who's going to be a Pro Bowl player for many, many years to come. So I think he could outperform his draft spot.
And he's all around. I think he's going to catch a lot of balls. So he's going to be – I actually think if this was a PPR league, Courtland Sutton would overtake A.J. Brown. And that's mainly just because, like you were saying earlier, Georgie, A.J. Brown always had those long touchdowns, but with fewer receptions. But Courtland Sutton gets a lot of receptions, and dude's just going to keep getting better and better. He's still brand new.
Yeah.
No. Well, speaking of still brand new, DK Metcalf, going into his second year. You know, last year he was kind of like a social media sensation after he had a couple of big games, because all of a sudden every time I turned on Twitter, there was a picture of DK Metcalf with no shirt on. And
if I
look like him, if I look like him, I wouldn't wear a shirt at any time either. So,
there you go.
Yeah. Hector,
Ryan, so I keep it on.
Hector, you know, DK Metcalf.
Oh, my God. I am a huge fan, and I'll just put it out there. Last year, I had him on all my, you know, all my projections to be the guy that I wanted to draft last minute. For whatever reason, I was like, no, I mean, no, Tyler Lockett's going to be the guy. And for whatever reason, I just kind of lost sight of Metcalf, and I wanted to draft him. And then for whatever reason, I didn't. But I wanted to, and... Yeah, and for good reason. DK Metcalf is just the man. I think he's going to take over over there in Seattle. Tyler Lockett, yes, has been that guy. Ever since Doug Baldwin left, Lockett definitely stepped up and became top receiver. Last year in the Seahawks, he was a top guy. But I think this is the year Metcalf is just going to come out and just take over. He's such a much bigger target than Tyler Lockett is. Maybe not as quick as Lockett, but I think Russell Wilson is going to – throwing a lot more balls to Metcalf this year. I have him definitely on my radar for sure. I'm gonna put his name in, like, you know, big neon letters on my notes just to make sure that I don't forget about him again this year, because I definitely like DK Metcalf. I'm gonna definitely be looking at him for a lot, whatever team that I have. I just, the guy's just a big target. Wilson is going to find him, so he's gonna have a big year for sure.
And I'm just surprised that we have him up ahead of Lockett, and Lockett's always been like the number one guy there, and now DK just took the job over because he's a beast.
Right.
So, I mean, it's nice to see them have like a dominating point now that they no longer have beast mode out there. Mm-hmm. And I think what DK did last year, it's only going to get better. I think Russell Wilson didn't even know how good Metcalf was. And I think this year you got to worry a lot if you're going against the Seahawks. Because yep. Russell Wilson last year was just on fire. And now that Metcalf has a year under his belt, it's going to be dangerous. The Seahawks team is going to be one of the best teams out there this year. And DK is going to be one of the reasons.
Yep.
DK Metcalf is definitely a guy who I'm keeping an eye on, because the fact that I love those receivers who come out and really dominate in the second half of their rookie season. So I think there's a carryover effect to that in the second season. So that's why Metcalf is a guy who could really outperform this. He played he was phenomenal in the second half of the season. He's got a great quarterback in front of him. He's got a great running game too. So I think he's a guy that to really, really like. And I think he's, you know, by this time next year, we're going to be talking about him much higher than 19th.
I agree.
Think. So I think, I mean, he had 900 yards receiving on 58 receptions. I could see those receptions jumping up by 20 to 30 this season, and the yards going up a lot. And he's he's that big bodied receiver, kind of like Megatron. So just a fantastic physical specimen. He's gonna do great things this season.
For sure.
You know, number 20, we had a tie, and I don't know what it is about initials, because the guys who tied both have initial first names. T.Y. Hilton is a little longer in the tooth, still a big long ball threat, but, you know, definitely dealt with some injuries last year. Is that a concerning thing?
I think it's only concerning because the team really doesn't have good receivers. They also got Michael Pittman, who I can't find anything good said about him anywhere. it's going to be a little bit of a change for T.Y. having to get used to another quarterback. Yeah, Phillip Rivers is great, but I mean, I don't know. T.Y. Hilton just, excuse my language, he pisses me off because, Georgie, you traded me him last year, and he didn't do anything. He didn't do anything all season for me. I took him injured from you. Worst mistake I ever did.
You take everyone injured, Rick. That's what you get, man.
It's on discount. That's how you do it.
That's what you get, man. Stop picking up injured players. Jeez.
I'm telling you, it's one of my favorite things to do, because if you can just take a couple of losses and then go undefeated the rest of the way, yeah. But hey, that's my strategy. Don't worry about it.
I hear you. Yeah, I'm not a fan of T.Y. Hilton. You mentioned the term long in the tooth a little while ago, George, and Phillip Rivers, you know, tossing the ball to T.Y. I think that wacky delivery that Phillip Rivers has, I think, is finally caught up to him. I think he's just – I just don't see Rivers doing much. And again, that whole receiving core over there in Indy, I'm just not really impressed too much about it. So – I'm going to stay away. I'm going to shy away from T.Y. this year. I'm not really looking at him on any of my teams. Maybe as a value pick way late, but I don't really see much happening. Rivers and Hilton, you know, a couple of older dudes, you know, the odd couple, maybe, you know, the two old guys, you know, playing ball. I'm not looking that way.
Well, maybe it's because I'm the viejo in the group. I kind of want to give the old guy another chance. You know, he's only a season removed from getting 1,270 yards. The injuries, maybe you could get him at a discount on the draft day. So I'm not ready to write him off just yet. He's always been a guy who's been a warrior, who wants to fight through injury to play. So I would take another chance on him this year before writing him off, because again, you know, he still showed that he was a big time threat. I think Rivers is a step up from Jacoby Brissett at the quarterback position, so I think that could make a big difference for T.Y. Hilton. So I'm not ready to correr el viejo out the door. So
What was it you guys were saying?
Long in the tooth.
What does
means
that
mean? Viejo. Oh,
okay.
Means he's viejo.
That means your teeth have if your teeth have grown long, you know, you're definitely getting old. I think it's like a reference to some animal that, you know, their you know, teeth keeps growing, like, I don't know, great white sharks or whatever.
George was right. It's something old people say.
There you go. That's true. If you're a little bit older, if you're from our generation, Rick, that's
I'm medium.
You're gonna get these idioms and, you know, little phrases and sayings. Definitely old school.
Yeah, when you get to be our age, you'll learn these things.
Yeah, man.
Well, next guy is not all long in the tooth. He was a second year breakout last year. DJ Moore.
Yes.
Definitely exploded for teams.
Yes. And yes.
Was a big time find, even though there was a lot of variation in the quarterback position. Hector, talk to me on him.
I'm a huge fan. Here's my thing. We have him ranked at number 20. I think DJ Moore is one of these guys that as we get closer to the start of the season, when, you know, fantasy football drafts are getting into full swing, I see DJ Moore's draft stock just rising. I think, you know, we have him. I would not be surprised if, you know, on, you know, ESPNs and Yahoos and all these draft boards for mock drafts, if DJ Moore is not projected to go somewhere in the top 12. Just looking at everything. I mean, the guy lit it up last year, and he, you know, I think one of his top quarterbacks was Kyle Allen. He had 87 catches. You know, he's getting balls thrown from three different QBs, 1,175 total yards. Yeah, he only had four TDs, but that's because he had guys like Kyle Allen throwing him the ball. He's got Teddy Bridgewater, who I'm just a giant fan. I've talked about him before here. You know, the guy learned under Drew Brees for a couple of years. He was a stud, you know, coming out of Louisville. And I just can't wait to see what Teddy Bridgewater could do on his own team as a leader. We saw what he did last year on the Saints, those games that he had. He went 5 in a row, you know, and you know, we saw what he did. He lit up Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas did what Michael Thomas did, partly because of Teddy Bridgewater. And now DJ Moore can, you know, fill that same role as the lead dog on the Panthers. I like DJ Moore bucket loads, and I see his draft stock going up. I'm picking him up everywhere I can.
I love that he's the lead dog for the wide receivers, but he's not alone because he's got Christian McCaffrey to be the lead dog in the running back. That gives DJ Moore room in the back, but he's also got a better quarterback now in Teddy Bridgewater, someone who learned under Breeze, who was able to had to carry that team on his back for that long. But also the wide receivers behind him, Curtis Samuel, Robbie Anderson, I love them too.
Yeah.
So I feel like DJ Moore, even if he gets double teamed, teams are eventually going to want to stop doing that because Curtis Samuel and Robbie Anderson are going to force the issue. And with Christian McCaffrey also being a threat, DJ Moore, I think he could easily be a favorite player of someone's. If you draft him late and all of a sudden this guy's getting you 20 points a week, yeah. And I think it's possible. The dude's on a team that just looks like they're ready to score a lot. They just look inexperienced. That's all it is, really, because, I mean, you don't see Teddy Bridgewater all the time anymore. Christian McCaffrey's still really young. And then the old wide receivers, Moore, Samuel, and Robbie Anderson, they're all really young. And I think that's why people aren't giving the Panthers the credit, especially because they look like they've been breaking down the past 2 years.
Right.
So I think DJ Moore is going to be good. I think that whole Panthers offense is going to be phenomenal.
Agreed.
You know, look at his numbers, 87 catches, 1,175 yards. And that was with really not very good quarterback play.
Exactly.
I mean, I had Kyle Allen on a 2QB team. So I think you improve the quarterback, especially Teddy Bridgewater is known to be a very accurate passer. I mean, DJ Moore could be up around 100 receptions this season. and be, you know, 1,200, 1,300 yards, and then maybe the TDs go up. The other thing, and I think we touched on this before, Carolina had some significant losses on their defensive side of the ball. So they're going to be in a lot of shootouts. So what happens? They're going to be throwing the ball. Teddy's going to be throwing the ball, and I think DJ Moore is going to be grabbing a bunch of them. So, you know, get at a tie for 20, that's probably like a fourth round grade. I'll take those kind of numbers at that point.
All day long.
And that's the thing with when it comes to this position. I mean, we really could have gone to 40, and you know, we'll get into guys who didn't make it into the top 20 at, you know, probably in our next show. But that's the thing. This position is so deep. Always remember, if you miss out on a guy early, maybe get another running back, because you know, guys that are number 30, number 35 on this on these rankings are gonna still be really good. You might even still find a 1,000-yard receiver at that point. So get your running backs early. that's gonna be for another show.
Exactly.
Yes.
Oh man. So next week we're gonna get into tight ends, but we're only gonna do one show on the tight ends, because really, you know, what's the use in going beyond the top 10? Because you know, there's just nothing to go.
I'll be surprised if there's 10 tight ends to talk about.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Let's go. We can go top five. We can have an entire show about the top five. And I don't know if there's anything really beyond the top five, really. It's a quick drop off. You know, the top stud tight ends is, you know, you got some good ones. And then it quickly falls into like no man's land.
You're like, oh, I think this guy's going to break out this year. So there's going to be like 10 guys.
Tight ends don't do that.
Yeah.
Well, that's enough. That's enough previewing the next show. That's it for our show today. Again, thank you to Anchor.fm for being our podcast network for our independent podcast. And find us on Facebook at Familia FFB, and also on Twitter and Instagram. And definitely check out our website, familiaffb.com. Take care, everybody. Stay safe. Salud. Cuídense. Porque todos somos familia.
Adiós, amigos.
Salud.